It's been another long week. We have discussed the philosophy of sports. We have raised a lot of money for GPB. Thanks, everyone who called in and pledged. We've also celebrated the third birthday of On Second Thought. So, as we do every Friday, we've gathered a group of smart people to help us kick back, unwind, and think about what happened this week. It is time for the break room.
It's the Battle of the Ages. 12 rounds of boxing for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Sounded like a lovely woman, did not say what the congresswoman said, and most people aren't too surprised to hear that.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
All right, let's talk about all of those stories and more. Joining us in the break room are, let's have people introduce themselves. Natalie, you go first.
Hi, I'm Natalie Pavelski. I'm a vice president with Cater Communications.
Steve?
Hi, Steve Brown, Fayette County Commissioner, Fayette County Board of Commissioners.
Hey, I'm Donnie Leapard, a television and film editor here in Atlanta, Georgia.
And I'm Kalina Bowler. I am host of the Credits Podcast.
Lovely to have all of you to discuss the week's news. In our last segment, we were hearing from local activists about the social media Me Too campaign. And while many folks are speaking out against Harvey Weinstein and sexual assault, filmmaker Woody Allen called the effort, quote, a witch hunt. In an interview with the BBC, Woody Allen said to beware of, quote, a Salem atmosphere where every guy in an office who winks at a woman is suddenly having to call a lawyer to defend himself. That's not right either, end quote. Thus spoke Woody Allen. What do we think of Woody Allen's idea that people are overreacting here? Kalina?
Nobody is overreacting. This is a rampant problem. I found myself in a lot of Facebook posts with a lot of fellow filmmakers, and we were really discussing, you know, honestly, what do we do? Because sometimes the assault comes from people above the line. That could be like producers, writers, directors, and then we feel like we don't have a lot of, you know, recourse or something, somebody we can go and talk to. And there's not a lot of companies that have an immediate HR department. So it's one of those things where you really have to consider that people who were assaulted or harassed in this way, this is something that is hurtful and is something that is a power play. And for Woody Allen to come and say, you know, oh, we need to make sure these women don't get out of hand, like, that is so distasteful. So distasteful. That's horrible.
Well, go ahead, Natalie.
I mean, first of all, Woody Allen has zero standing to comment on
exactly.
this. I mean, who's next, Bill Cosby? But second, it's not an overreaction, and I think it's a broader issue than just the film industry. I mean, as you sow, shall you reap, right? And Harvey Weinstein over the years has treated women and other people awfully for a very long time. And I think there's also a lot of women out there who are tired of rich and powerful men thinking they can just grab women by the, okay, I won't go there. And a lot of people are sick of it. And so I think that's part of what this is tapping into.
That said, I mean, it could be the case that sexual assault and harassment is a rampant viral problem in the movie industry, and at the same time, there could now be an overcorrection, something along the lines that Woody Allen fears, though he is hardly the ideal messenger for that message. Both of those things could possibly be true at the same time. Donnie, do you think there is the potential for an overreaction in Hollywood? You're a filmmaker yourself.
Just playing devil's advocate, I feel like there is... At times, there can be a social media mob, like, you know, mentality, and there's very selectivity in who to go after and who not to. Like, they give Casey Affleck an Oscar, you know, and even our own president gets a pass for a lot of inappropriate comments and behavior. So there can be some possibility for that to occur, and it could be a situation where it's like, we don't like this particular person at this time, so everyone will focus their attention on trying to bring them down.
Right. And Steve, do we think that in a situation like that, are basically all of the many guilty parties are out there trying to kind of pool their guilt into one sacrificial lamb, and then they kill the lamb and they figure it's done with?
Well, I mean, you know, there is that philosophy that if you do away with Harvey Weinstein, everything is better. But I mean, obviously, the movement behind that has shown that that's not going to go away. But, you know, to Donnie's point is, you know, the objectivity
is what is really needed here. And you don't want to cause damage that, you know, is unnecessary, and you do want to make sure that you're rectifying the problem. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to let anger and over-emotions get into the thing where you start whitewashing everything and you cause more problems than you had before.
I think the timing of his statement is what is it stings. Because right now, the focus is this guy is a serial predator, and he's done so much damage for so many years that has been unchecked. And suddenly, as we're getting right into the meat of it, you know, ladies, let's chill. You know, like, no.
And the messenger can be as important as the message. I mean, of all the people in the world to tell me, now be careful, ladies, you know, is Woody Allen the right person to deliver that message?
No, he is not.
Right. There's no
Seems
doubt about
to be
about
consensus
that.
On that, Tom. All right, let's stay with Hollywood before we have to go to our break, but let's talk about some more fun stuff. A lot of people are getting pumped for the new Star Wars film.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now.
That is a clip from the upcoming Star Wars film, The Last Jedi. But this week, another Star Wars spinoff was announced, or at least its title was announced. The new Han Solo prequel will be called Solo, a Star Wars story. So, question, bland title or tantalizingly vague, Donnie?
I was very disappointed by this because the title is as bland as I feel the director is. So,
oh my God.
I wasn't really.
How do you really feel?
I wasn't really sure why they brought Ron Howard in, you know, to do the pickup shoots for this movie, because he isn't really known for science fiction and fantasy and epic adventures.
He did The Grinch.
Yeah, I'll give him that. That's one.
I like The Grinch.
So yeah, you need to think of J.J. Abrams as the cleanup man these type of franchises. So I'm very anxious to see how this movie does. I don't know.
Kalina?
Okay, look. So Han Solo, his character was amazing in the original iterations of the original series of Star Wars. We have, is it Donald Glover? Is that who is going to be?
No.
Lando Calrissian.
I'm sorry. That's correct. You're right. So clearly I'm not paying attention to it. So it's not on my radar, to be honest. So I just, you know.
Well, from what I've read, they basically reshot almost the whole movie. And
wow.
Certain actors like Michael K. Williams could not reprise their roles to do the pickup shoot, so they recast his character because he had a scheduling conflict.
Wow.
So this is a completely different movie, and it's a Ron Howard movie, essentially. I'm curious to see who the directed by credit is going to go to. It's going to be an interesting time when the movie comes out.
And you know, the interesting thing is, Adam, that most of these Star Wars movies, if you look at the titles, you know, Return of the Jedi and The Empire Strikes Back and The Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith, they all tell you what's coming. Mm. You know, you've got these big, you know, things that are going to happen, challenges, battles, intrigue, Han Solo, a story. You know, I mean, I just, I'm like, where are we?
Well, they kind of did that with Rogue One as well. But Rogue One sounded
awesome.
Which I
thought was like the best Star Wars film since the first two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's an opinion.
I agree. It's the hottest of takes.
Right?
Oh, boy. Okay, we have like 1 minute to get through one more topic, and let's see if we can do it really quickly. The Black Panther movie is coming. Here's a clip.
Task Force will decide who brings in Barnes.
Don't bother Ms. Romanoff. I'll kill him myself.
It's Chadwick Boseman as the Black Panther in Captain America: Civil War. Black Panther is now going to get his own movie filmed in Atlanta. After decades of trying to nail the modern black superhero, we may finally be getting what we've asked for and getting it done right. Do we think that this represents a shift for in the favor of more diverse superheroes and could continue beyond Black Panther? I think that a couple of people in the room there are more qualified than others to comment on that question.
Yeah, think.
What are you trying to say? No, I'm just playing. But I mean, my social media has been rife with posts about how excited I am about this new Black Panther film. I'm I'm like picking out my day one outfit now. Ooh, I'm gonna have it's gonna be Coming to America meets like, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm gonna be a Wakandan princess goddess thing. My hair's gonna be so big, no one can see past it.
We're not sitting behind Kalina.
Right. It's gonna be so great.
All right. Fair to say, it sounds like we are excited, and that is just fantastic. Okay, so it's Friday. We're in the break room. Just ahead, is Georgia ready for high-speed rail, and where would it go? Also, the South's most notorious jewel thief is calling it quits, or is she? It is On Second Thought. I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Celeste Headlee. We're back with the break room in just a moment. It's Adam Ragusea. It is Adam Ragusea. The show, however, is called On Second Thought. I am Adam Ragusea, and I'm in for Celeste Headlee. We are having coffee and conversation in the break room, as we do each Friday. My guests are Donnie Liepart, filmmaker and longtime employee of Videodrome, Natalie Pavelski, vice president of Cater Communications, Fayette County Commissioner Steve Brown, and Kalina Bowler, host of the Credits podcast. Let's talk about some more stuff from the news. This is maybe my favorite story of the week. Jewel thief Doris Payne of Atlanta has been stealing for more than seven decades. She has reportedly lifted $2+ million worth of valuables in her lifetime. Here she is speaking with Fox 5 after being caught in Dunwoody last year.
Being a thief ain't the worst thing you can be.
Would you say you're more than what people may think you are?
I don't care what people think I am. Get that. You're not listening. I don't care. I know. It don't matter. It never has.
Doris Payne was caught again this week stealing at Walmart. She told a judge that she would not be coming back to the courtroom. So, Natalie, do we think that that means that Doris Payne is retiring her jewel thievery forever, or is she just saying that she does not intend to get caught again?
I think it's the latter. And the thing is, it's sad because I think she might end up ending her career at Walmart, and this is a woman who's stolen from some much nicer places.
How sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she will, I hope she won't thieve again because I'd hate to see her end up in jail or in prison, but I'm not holding my breath.
am I wrong for thinking that this woman is kind of awesome? I mean, ultimately, like, she is a thief, right, Steve? It's not cool to steal.
The first time she was nabbed as a senior citizen, I think there was a lot of allure around this because, you know, her story came back. You know, it was in the newspapers, it was on television, and it was like, wow, this is like old school, you know, jewel thievery and stuff like this, and she still got it and stuff like this. But then when you get caught shoplifting at Walmart, it just puts a whole different, you know, perspective on it. And I think, you know, it's kind of like, you know, now she's just kind of doing it to exist, and it's kind of sad now.
I don't know. At 87 years old, I feel like it's baked into the cake at this point. It's in her blood.
Can't change who you are at that
age. Yeah, no. As we say in Detroit, she's married to the game. Like, till death do us part, that type of thing.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
All right. Let's talk about something else that's kind of old-timey. Time was boxing was America's biggest sport.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Donald Trump's Trump Plaza Hotel Casino here on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Let's get ready to rumble!
Oh, Donald Trump permeates our history in some ways. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is boxing. Evander Holyfield will soon have a statue in downtown Atlanta to honor his incredible boxing career. Some folks are saying it's sort of a little unfortunate that it's coming now at a time when boxing is seen as being on the decline, or at least the popularity of boxing. Any boxing fans in the room?
You know, I have a great appreciation of boxing, and I love Evander Holyfield, Fayette County citizen, by the way, and longtime Fayette County citizen. And, you know, he's one of the nicest, sweetest people you will ever meet to be in one of the blood sports. I mean, he is just a classic good human being. He's had some misfortune in his life in the latter part of his career, but really nice guy, very deserving of the statue, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah. He harkens back to a time, I think, I remember when I was a kid, sports, they used to have storylines and rivalries, and nowadays I don't really feel that, especially like with the NBA and a little bit with the MLB, but not so much anymore. And boxing was one of those sports where they were personalities and they had a certain, you know, charisma, et cetera. Nowadays, I guess Floyd Mayweather is the only one.
Yeah.
In terms of charisma, Mayweather can't touch Holyfield exactly. in any way. It's in my opinion. And I completely agree with you 100%. Sweet guy. There was something about him in the ring. I mean, he would just go for it and go for it and go for it. You know what I mean? And I just really enjoyed watching him fight. Yeah. You know, he was great.
I think this is one more example of audience fragmentation, though. I think it's hard for boxing to compete with mixed martial arts, for example.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
MMA is huge. Yeah. All the younger generation is picking up on MMA. And I think it's really taking boxing and just kind of setting it to the side. But there's so much grassroots support. And MMA was a grassroots athletic event for many, many years until it finally gained public acceptance.
You know? I blame Tekken, Mortal Kombat, and any Steven Seagal movie that's coming out.
I would like to blame Steven Seagal for everything. Moving on to something that I don't think that we can pin on Steven Seagal. This week, a Georgia woman claimed that Delta did not let her sing the national anthem on a Delta flight because it violated policy. Delta has since said that the flight attendant who made this woman stop singing was misinformed and that singing the anthem does not violate any airline policy. This has led to a significant backlash, predictably, against Delta. On the other hand, Kalina, I kind of feel like I wouldn't want anyone to just start singing on the airplane. Like, it doesn't matter what song they're singing, right?
I am with you 100%. I'm just trying to get to my destination as quickly and as quietly as possible. Please, please be quiet on the plane. You could, I mean...
I agree. And we
don't get her started.
Right? Yeah.
We don't know if this woman could actually sing. Like, was she really, really singing? Or was she just awkwardly singing?
But even if she was singing, like, just don't bust out singing anything, even if you can blow like Whitney Houston on my flight to San Francisco. Just don't.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think she had really good intentions. I think I'll give her that. But Delta, I think, cleaned it up really well. And they said, look, that's not our policy and whatnot. But, you know, Delta has an honor guard. And I don't know if any of you all have ever seen that. But when they're taking a casket off of an aircraft of a service person killed in the line of duty, they stand there. They have the flags and everything. And these are Delta employees who are doing this. And it's very touching to watch that casket come off of that aircraft. They drape it with the flag, and they really have a lot of honor. So I applaud Delta for showing that kind
That's
of...
That's actually awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wonder if the biggest issue was she started singing when the seatbelt light was on. So we can't stand for the national
You're
anthem.
You're all about context.
You got a point there.
You're all about context right now.
Wow. Wow. That was overthinking it. And I'm a big fan of overthinking things. Federal transportation officials have zeroed in on a potential high-speed rail route in Georgia. It would start at Hartsfield and then go through downtown Atlanta, go through North Georgia, and then terminate where? Downtown Chattanooga. And I want to applaud the producers of this show right now for resisting the temptation to drop a bit of Chattanooga choo-choo. This proposal for a high-speed rail line from Atlanta to Chattanooga now moves into a lengthy study phase. Who knows if it'll ever actually come to happen. But assuming that it does, Natalie, do you think that this seems like the route that you would have chosen for high-speed rail in the region?
I think we need so much rail, and we need light rail, and we need heavy rail, and we need underground rail. I don't know that this is, you know, I don't know that I would have chosen this before I would have chosen, for example, tying MARTA into the Emory CDC area. But if it's federal money, I will take it. It's a reasonable route. And it could also help out with some of Atlanta's kind of commuter traffic, because a lot of people live between here and Chattanooga and live in Atlanta. So I like that idea.
Yeah, a lot of, like, the wealthier residents of the Atlanta metro area live north of the city, and they would benefit from said rail line.
This would even go into some of the countryside, though. This could help out some of the smaller towns in Georgia as well.
No, I guess that's true.
And Adam,
Steve, go ahead. One of the things,
and I've studied transportation in metropolitan Atlanta just from my political perspective for 20 years, and high-speed rail, this particular project is a boondoggle. And if you look at what they're trying to do in California with high-speed rail and the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars of overruns,
And mm-hmm. the other thing you have to remember with high-speed rail, the more stops you add, the less it becomes high-speed rail.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And what happens is everybody on that rail line wants to have a stop. That's what's happening. That's what they'd had early on in California. And you can't put the stop in every city. And there are a lot more problems that we need. I agree with Natalie's point. I would much rather do a lot of things in the heavily congested areas and solve some of those vital problems. I never hear anybody saying, my God, I'm having a hard time getting to Chattanooga.
That's what
you
I was
know?
Thinking.
Yeah,
like,
only it's not that bad a drive to
yeah.
begin with.
And,
right.
Earlier this
year.
Well,
I suppose one of the issues here is that for these federally funded projects, they have to cross state lines. Donnie, is there a route that would cross state lines you'd prefer than Atlanta and Chattanooga?
That's a very good question. I mean, earlier this year, I went to London for the first time. The high-speed rail there is just, like, so efficient, so easy, and it gets you where you need to go quickly. So I feel like it's a project we should try here in Georgia, but I don't really know how.
We should go past Tennessee. We should connect Atlanta to Charlotte, North Carolina. We should connect from there, going into Virginia, go to Richmond. Let's go. Like, let's go.
Let's
all
go
the
to
way
D.C.
up.
Let's go to
let's
New
go
York.
To D.C.
Let's go to Chicago.
Right. Let's do that. If we're going to spend federal money by crossing state lines, let's cross more states. Let's connect Atlanta to the East Coast.
I'll just down here in Macon wave up at all y'all and say, we'd love to get a connection too. Just letting you know.
Well, we got you.
Well, the government has no problems that our money can't solve. So, you know,
you
just keep giving the money, they'll keep solving the problem.
There you go.
Dang. All right. Let's see. Wow, here's a big story. Some Decatur parents are blasting the Decatur School Board for the board's policies that are designed to protect transgender students. These parents have built a petition which says, quote, "We insist that there are areas in the education system where the anatomical sex must be the sole distinctive trait considered. In these areas, gender identity is not interchangeable with sex," end quote. This petition says that those particular areas would be athletics, locker rooms, and bathrooms. They're saying that the school system must continue to keep those areas of school activity separate on the basis of biological anatomical sex. What do folks make of that argument, Steve?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I was reading some of the articles related to this situation in Decatur, and one of the things that I think some people don't want to see is they don't want to homogenize what we consider to be traditional gender relationships. I'm not necessarily thinking it's the inclusion of other people, new gender types, or whatever we want to do, but they don't want to see the removal of some of the old gender structure if they don't want it. But I'll give you a perfect example in the athletics. There's like four cases right now in the United States where you've got someone who's anatomically male with the testosterone and everything in their system, and they're playing female athletics, and they're crushing the female teams. And a lot of people are saying that's absolutely not fair. Where do you go on something like that?
Yeah, no, but look, I wasn't sure entirely. Transgender issues are hard for me to get my brain around. But I actually talked to one of the parents in Decatur who I've known for years. She's a friend of mine, and she has a child who's 13 who just recently transitioned to being a boy. And talking to her was really helpful because it let me see this as a case of a family dealing with their child's development, not as a weapon in a culture war, but as a family trying to do what's right. She said that the Decatur schools have clear policies so that when the child made the decision to transition, there was a policy in place, what to do about pronouns, what to do about sports, what to do about bathrooms, what to do about extracurriculars. Long story short, she felt like that made the whole thing easier, and she felt like the school had her child's back. I think that as parents, we have every right to ask that schools treat our children fairly and treat them with respect. I don't think we have the right to define what that kind of respect and fair treatment looks like for other people's children.
Kalina, what do you think?
I yield my time to Natalie. Yeah, that was an excellent response there. I am all for inclusion. I am all for tolerance. I am all for understanding people's decisions on how they identify. And the more we allow our public spaces to be inclusive and safe, I think it's just going to be better in general for people.
Donnie, last word goes to you. Question of whether schools should continue to keep some activities in areas separate on the basis of anatomical, biological sex assigned at birth as opposed to gender identity.
I think this kind of goes back to the original topic about Woody Allen and sexual harassment, et cetera. It's like you have a group of men discussing and deciding how women should feel about a certain issue. And in this case, a lot of times they don't talk to the kids. And most times the kids are like, we don't care. It's not a big deal to us.
That's what this mom told me. She said that, you know, part of this is a generational difference. Children now and young people now talk about sexuality in a way that kind of freaks me out. In the same way that the way my generation talked about sexuality freaked my parents out.
Right, right. It's how it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if they have a serious discussion with the kids, they will see that this is a completely new generation. This is not the 1950s, the 1960s, 80s. This is a completely new generation, and they view all of these things in a different context.
And not just the children, too. Maybe talk to some transgender people, adults in the community, and just get a general idea. What is it like? Like, how do you feel about this? This is what we're trying to do.
And in Decatur, some of the parents on different sides of this issue have actually met. And my friend said that was very reassuring, that they hope that they can deal with this at a community level.
Right. That's what you want. Yeah.
Well, with the remaining minute that we have, let's say what we're doing this weekend. Kalina, let's start with you and then go counterclockwise.
I am having my niece and nephew over, and we're going to have a slumber party. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have popcorn and pumpkin seeds roasting, and it's going to be great. Going to have fun. Hi, Christian in London.
This weekend is my college's homecoming weekend, Clark Atlanta University.
All right.
And we're turning up, as they say.
Oh, my God.
With HBCUs, it's just a big reunion, big party, and we just party with the current students and past alumni. It's going to be a ball.
And I'll be kayaking on the beautiful lakes in Fayette County this weekend, weather permitting. Mm-hmm. And I'm also looking for a queen-size sleeper sofa, so you've got my number. Tell me where I can find one.
I'll be taking my little girl to a fifth birthday party. Yay!
Nice.
Well done. Well done. That's Natalie Pavelski, Vice President of Cater Communications. We also heard from Steve Brown, Commissioner for Fayette County, Kalina Bowler, host of the Credits Podcast, and filmmaker Donnie Leapart, longtime employee of Videodrome. Thank you all so much for joining us in the break room. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks Adam.
Thank you.